see. We're going to, perhaps foolishly, try to cover parts of chapters 8, 9, 10 and 11 today, and then Jeremy is going to conclude our series and clear everything up for you in one final sermon next week. So we're going to have part of chapters 8 and 9 read. Now you might like to turn to it in your Bibles. It begins at chapter 8, verse 14, and Annabelle's going to read, and then seamlessly Martin is going to continue afterwards.
The first reading is taken from Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 14 to 9, verse 10. There is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. Righteous men who get what the wicked deserve, and wicked men who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because nothing is better for a man under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany him in his work all the days of life God has given him under the sun. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labour on earth, his eyes not seeing sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good man, so it is with the sinner. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favours what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labour under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning, nor knowledge nor wisdom.
Ecclesiastes 9:11-18. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not for the swift, or the battle for the strong. Nor does food come to wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favour to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. The fish are caught in a cruel net, or a bird are taken in a snare. So people are trapped by evil times. They fall unexpectedly upon them. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built a huge siege works against it. And I lived in that city, a man poor, but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man, so I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of the ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Beth. An interesting thought experiment, I think, to ask what the preacher of Ecclesiastes might say to Emma Raducanu today. I'm going to struggle to say her surname, so I might just call her Emma. He would no doubt say to her, enjoy this. It's a wonderful achievement. And he'd say too, it is the gift of God. Maybe not today, but in the days to come, I think he'd say to her, well, there's a lot to think about now. Life has changed forever. You've done something unique. And this success will bring wealth and fame. But what are they? They're often fleeting, aren't they? What is it that really matters in life? Apparently, I think I hear that one of Emma's teachers said to her, it's futile to pin your hopes on tennis success. Well, that proved to be terrible advice, didn't it? And some people have thought that the preacher of Ecclesiastes is saying, futile, futile, everything is futile. We thought before how that translating of meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless, is a very bad one. It's not that everything is futile or vain or worthless, but it is true that futility runs through it all. Sometimes you might find yourself short of breath and forced to pull out. You might have to play tennis with a bleeding knee. You won't always win in straight sets. This is a fallen world. And one of the great things about this book of Ecclesiastes is that it looks at life honestly, warts and all. It helps us to live in the world as it really is, and not as we might like it to be. The preacher is, I think, concerned about what we say to our young people. He'll say in the final chapter, remember God in the days of your youth. Fear God. And we could perhaps sum up much of the message of this book of Ecclesiastes and of these two chapters with two opposite headings. Number one, face facts, don't be naive. And number two, fear God, don't be cynical. The preacher wants to show us both the limitations and the benefits of wisdom. So let's think of those two headings in turn. First of all, face facts, don't be naive. Maybe this is a particular temptation of the young. The error of naivety is to think that life is really pretty straightforward and we've got it stuffed. We know all the answers. My mother used to say to me, you're still young enough to know everything. And perhaps this naivety can come in a kind of religious or spiritual dress too. Well, we have the word of God. We're trusting God, so everything will be fine. But we know that God hasn't promised unmitigated happiness and blessing and one triumph after another. If we think that, we'll soon face a rude awakening. So one of the great messages of this book is to face facts, to not to be naive, to realise that life is often not neat or straightforward. It's complicated and messy. There often aren't easy, simple answers. When we're faced with an ethical dilemma or a pastoral situation, often one thing to say is, well, we wouldn't have started from here. But this is where we are. How do we go forward from this situation? Trusting God. And so these chapters begin to apply living wisely in God's world to a number of different situations. For example, if you've got your Bibles open, look at chapter 8 and verse 2. There's the issue of dealing with those in authority. This life is broken, it's plagued by futility. And so you won't always get your way. Even when you're right, or when you think you're right, the powers that be will sometimes ignore your rights. There are times when we need a principled pragmatism, not a rigid ideology. Don't be in a hurry to leave the presence of the king. Don't stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Sometimes there'll be no persuading him. We have to choose our battles. We might not want to die on every hill. Or think of the other limits of wisdom. Chapter 8 and verse 7. No man knows the future. Or chapter 10 and verse 14. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell what will happen after him? Life is often unpredictable and unfair. Chapter 9 and verse 11 says, the race is not to the swift, the battle not to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favour to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Sadly, there's often injustice in our world. Sometimes justice delayed, sometimes justice denied. Rulers are not always what they should be. Sometimes, chapter 10 and verse 6, fools are put in high position. So wisdom is limited. We don't see the whole picture. We live with that foggy vapour that we've been thinking about. Chapter 8 and verse 7, no one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. We just can't grasp it all. Despite our efforts to search it out, we can't completely comprehend it. There's a kind of wisdom that lies beyond our reach. Chapter 11 and verse 5. As we do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you can't understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Yes, you can know God really and truly, but not completely. There are many things he's revealed to us, but many things he hasn't. We can see enough to walk the next step in faith with him, but there's much which is in the fog which we don't know. We have to trust him. And the good, the bad, and the righteous, all alike will die. Death is that great leveller which will cut us down. So in our reading, we're urged to seize the day. Now! This life is the moment of opportunity to think about what is it really all about. That time to make our peace with God, to meet Jesus as our Saviour before we meet him as our judge. As the New Testament would say, now is the day of salvation. Today, where there's life, there's hope. So the preacher would say, don't waste your life. Are you living in the light of the fact that one day you will die? You don't have infinite time. And what will you look back on your life and say? Probably not, I wish I'd spent a bit more time at the office. Almost certainly not, I wish I'd watched a bit more telly. What is the point of it all? Enjoy life as the gift of God. And try to live in today. Not to worry about the past. Not to be preoccupied by guilt or regret. And not to worry about the future. Not to be crippled by what might be. But to trust God now and to go on with him. Face facts. Don't be naive. But secondly, fear God. Don't be cynical. This perhaps is the typical temptation of older people. They've been around the block, they've seen it all. So the preacher tells us the real benefits of wisdom. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Wisdom that would brighten a man's face and change his appearance. That wisdom that knows how to deal with rulers. Chapter 8 and verse 5. That knows the proper time and procedure. That chooses its moments and its words. That wisdom, chapter 8 and verse 16, which is better than strength. Or chapter 9 and verse 17. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Yes, the battle is not always for the strong or the swift or the wise, but skill and wisdom can bring success. Chapter 10 and verse 10. Skill will bring success. Wisdom is better than foolishness. Although life often isn't predictable or fair, God's way is the best way to live. Chapter 8 and verse 12. Although a man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. The teaching of Ecclesiastes is wonderfully well balanced. We mustn't overreact against naivety by falling into cynicism. Just as we don't have all the answers, it doesn't mean that we don't have any. We don't have total truth, but we do have truth. We can't see the whole picture perfectly, but God's word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. We see enough to take the next step in faith with him. God doesn't tell us all that we might want to know, but he does tell us all that we need to know. So enjoy life. Neither naively nor cynically, but facing facts and fearing God. Chapter 8 and verse 15. So I commend the enjoyment of life, for nothing is better for a man under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany him in his work all the days of the life that God has given him under the sun. We're to be neither cynical nor naive. We need to enjoy life with a mature, realistic, robust faith. And we need a faith that can help us to cope with life as it really is, trusting God when there are still questions and loose ends. We need the wisdom of God. And our passage, which we had read, gives us a tantalising picture of one wise man. Chapter 9 and verse 13. The preacher says, I saw under the sun this example of a wise man that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it and surrounded it and built a huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a poor but wise man, and he saved that city by his wisdom. Maybe we might think of another poor but wise man, despised, who saved a city, a people, the Lord Jesus. To those who are perishing, the cross is foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it is the wisdom and power of God. And the foolishness of God is wiser than all man's wisdom, and the weakness of God stronger than all man's strength. Chapter 10 and verse 14 tells us that the fool multiplies words. So let's stop and reflect on what God has said to us today. Face the fact. Don't be naive, and fear God Don't be cynical. Recognize both the limitations and the benefits of wisdom. And may God give us a wise and humble faith in the Lord Jesus, the only wise Saviour, the victor over injustice, sin and death, who is the righteous King of Kings. Amen.